The Michigan Campaign Finance Network today released its 2012 Citizen's Guide to Michigan Campaign Finance entitled Descending into Dark Money. I'm sure you'll just be shocked, I tell you, to learn about record amounts of money being spent, even though there was less accountability for who was spending that money. Joining us now is Rich Robinson with the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Welcome, Rich.
Good to be with you.
So let's start with the big numbers. Overall, how much was spent for state campaigns last election?
$209 million, and that was by far a record for spending. I'm talking about state campaigns now, setting aside for the moment federal campaigns for the U.S. House and Senate. Most of that spending was driven by the ballot committees. There was $154 million raised and mostly spent on those ballot committees. We've never had anything like that before. That's at least five times as much as we've ever had.
I want to break those down a little later because I know that there was a lot of money spent on a couple of those. I wonder how much of the money that was spent, that $200 million, the $209 million we're talking about, how much of that was from reported sources and how much of that was from unreported sources or this so-called dark money?
Well, most of it was reported because the ballot committees had no reason not to report what they were doing. Now, some of the contributions to the ballot committees did come from corporate entities who aggregated money. So in that sense, there was dark money there. For example, the Michigan Chamber of Commerce put $11 million into the ballot committees. We don't know who they raised the money from. But I think the more important issue is when we talk about electing office holders, state representatives, members of the state education boards, and all of that spending was reported, and most particularly the judiciary and most particularly the Supreme Court. In the Supreme Court campaign, three-quarters of the money that was spent was off the books, and that's been a trend that's been developing over time, but it hit a new extreme in 2012. I mean, we've had as much as half the money not disclosed before, but this was unprecedented. And it seeped down into a trial court race. In the Oakland County Sixth Circuit campaign, there was a campaign where there were five incumbents running, two nominal challengers appeared on the ballot, and there was $2 million spent by nonprofit corporations based in Washington, D.C. So another case where three-quarters of the money involved in that campaign was off the books.
Now, you've been working with the Judiciary Task Force on this subject. This just adds to your arguments that here we have people who are supposed to be, A, nonpartisan, and B, not being influenced by money of any kind. We're seeing all this unreported dark money for our justices and our judges. I mean, how disturbing do you think that is? How aware do you think citizens are about this?
Well, I don't think citizens really are aware, and they may be missing something about the importance of this, particularly for the judiciary. I mean, in all cases, citizens should know whose money is playing in an election campaign, but it's particularly important for a judicial campaign because if someone appears before a judge and that individual has helped elect the judge by spending extraordinary amounts of money, I think the opponent in the case has a legitimate claim that they can't possibly get an impartial court hearing in that environment. What we might call the Caperton problem for the U.S. Supreme Court case that ruled that it's not acceptable for a judge to rule in a case involving an extraordinary campaign contributor. So it not only compromises citizens' rights to know, it also compromises impartial justice. So this is something that just has to be cleaned up. And you mentioned the Judicial Selection Task Force, and I'd say that they were looking around the corner when they made their recommendation that all money in judicial campaigns needs to be disclosed to its source, because it certainly appeared this year like it never has before.
So has there been any action on the task force recommendations? Are we seeing any response from the legislature?
No real response from the legislature. There were some meetings at the time that the report was released, but there really hasn't been any action on this front. And, you know, it's my opinion that there's another route to correcting this right now, and that is that the interpretation of our state campaign finance law really goes back to a response to a request for a declaratory ruling in 2004. And at the time, the Department of State said, well, unless a communication has words of express advocacy, vote for, vote against, it would be too much for us to ask the sponsor to reveal their donors, so we won't. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has moved on, and in a case called Federal Election Commission against Wisconsin Right to Life, they said, you know, authentic issue advocacy is when the sponsor of an ad is trying to move viewers or listeners to contact a public official who can act on a matter of policy. And their lawyer in this case described it as grassroots lobbying. Well, in Michigan, judges aren't lobbyable officials. And the notion that quote-unquote issue advertising has anything to do with moving policy is just a fiction. These are cases where sponsors, mainly the major political parties, are being coy with their language and ducking under any requirement for disclosure.
So is this something the Secretary of State could do something about? I mean, could this be a ruling?
It is, but she won't respond, or the department won't respond until there is a request for a declaratory ruling on this. And I think the legal profession, as a profession, needs to step up to this issue. I would certainly think that this would be an issue of interest to judges. And have this matter clarified, but absolutely this is a decision that is within the purview of the Department of State, and I think that's where it needs to happen.
You mentioned the state political parties. They're taking an ever-growing role of unreported dark money. Can you contrast what they report and what they actually spend?
Well, the state Republican Party reported that it spent $1.7 million, and it actually spent $8.8 million. The state Democratic Party reported $3.7 million spent, and they actually spent over $11 million. So the long and short of it is the Republican Party reported 20% of what they spent. The Democratic Party reported 30% of what they spent. And I'm being generous in saying that they reported that much because they did other things that I wasn't able to quantify. I'm able to quantify what they spend on television because there are a limited number of stations that I visit, collect records from their public files, and report on that. But for example, in the Supreme Court campaign, the Michigan Republican Party sent out at least 13 pieces of direct mail about the candidates that I've collected, and only two of those were reported. So they're the greatest part of their mission, I guess, financially, is to obscure the source of the funds that they spend in political campaigns. And it's disgraceful.
The Internal Revenue Service has been in some hot water for its so-called BOLO lists. BOLO stands for Be on the Lookout in regards to Tea Party or Patriot groups, and now we learn also some progressive groups. And while it's a big political story, a scandal, it seems to me that these nonprofits who declare they're not involved in political campaigns actually are involved in political campaigns through this dark money. I wonder if you think the IRS really should be investigating some of these groups because they just might be in violation of their nonprofit status.
Well, I think that that's exactly the case. And I think some of the nonprofits are actually known and established that need to be investigated as to whether they're abiding by the requirements of their tax status. But the fact that all of these groups appeared beginning in 2010, after the Citizens United decision came down, suggested to me that they thought that they were going to be able to exploit the fact that corporations were going to be able to speak directly in election campaigns, and they would have the advantage of providing anonymity for donors. And it happened on both sides, but particularly on the right with the Tea Party organizations. The IRS is in a very difficult situation in that their staff has been reduced repeatedly over the years. They are overmatched by the situation. I have a degree of sympathy with what they did. I don't think anybody should be discriminated against, but certainly I think that there were a lot of organizations that emerged at that time that were deserving of scrutiny.
Rich Robinson is Executive Director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Rich, as always, we appreciate your work.
Well, thanks for having me on, Lester.